Welcome to Mainly Phenology, a program focused mainly on the phenology of Maine, the timing of natural occurrences throughout the seasons. This program is an audio calendar of the Maine outdoors, where we share what's happening in nature each week and focus on specific species and concepts that you can observe outdoors in hopes that you'll become just a little more curious about the natural world. I'm your host, Hazel Stark. Hot, muggy summer days can inspire laziness for some, or perhaps better put, efficiency. Putting too much work into the things that keep us alive can feel overwhelming in the heat, and for some species can compromise the fruits of those labors if too many calories go into the process of finding not as many calories. This is the third summer in a row that I have had the pleasure of having a broad-winged hawk as my neighbor. Our relative level of activity seems to be somewhat mirrored and perhaps even correlated with the weather. In May, when I am busily preparing the garden for planting, I often see this neighbor of mine flying swiftly along the forest's edge, screeching its piercing hawk call. As the days grow longer and hotter, I find that I linger longer to observe the changing landscape and have noticed this hawk on a particular maple tree branch appearing to do the same. A surprise moment of movement caught my eye 2 years ago, however, as I saw this hawk take flight from its perch, hit the ground, and return to the same branch, this time with the long, scaly, wriggling body of a garter snake hanging 2 feet below the maple branch, pinned to the wood by the sharp talons that punctuate the end of the broad-winged hawk's yellow feet. Lately, I've been noticing garter snakes basking in the sunshine near my front door, and just 2 weeks ago, the broad-winged hawk caught another, consuming its still wriggling body from the same maple branch from 2 years ago. Were these hawk-snake encounters a coincidence or a phenological clue? Snakes are cold-blooded, meaning they rely on their surroundings to maintain their temperatures. They spend winters in dens with other snakes in brumation, a process similar to hibernation, when they would otherwise freeze from slithering across ice and snow regularly, and they bask in the sun to support their metabolism in the summer. Females give birth to live young between July and September, so to support and incubate the young snakes growing within them, they can more reliably be found basking in the sun this time of year. Perhaps that is why this hawk has been able to catch a snake during the same time of year in the same place at least twice by my watch. Garter snakes have been known to give birth to as few as 3 and as many as 85 slithering snakes, usually about 5 to 9 inches long each. I'm no ophidiophobe, that is, someone who's afraid of snakes, but I'll be honest, the image of that many snakes emerging from one larger snake is definitely unsettling from an aesthetic texture perspective. But you can rest easy because the worst that could happen to you if you pick up a garter snake is it might counter with a bite that will probably not break your skin and musk a putrid fishy oil onto you. Garter snakes are Maine's most common reptile. They spend time in forest, fields, farms, really anywhere they can find water and cover easily, and a steady supply of food to eat. While earthworms comprise 80% of their diet, they will also eat anything from amphibians to birds to fish to insects to carrion. Here in Maine, we're lucky enough to also have a maritime subspecies of the garter snake that lacks the light stripe down the center of its back and is most common east of the Penobscot River. Being darker in color overall helps them stay more camouflaged and regulate their temperature in darker, more coniferous forests. So the next time you are sauntering along Maine's seashore, streams, or pastoral settings, you can consider the solitary, soon-to-be mother snakes absorbing summer sun in hopes that several of her slithering offspring will survive a sneak attack by one of our local excipitors, perhaps even a sharp-shinned hawk. You can find a link to the full transcript of this show, as well as references, contact information, and accompanying photos by visiting archives.weru.org. You can also listen to or download our features or subscribe to podcasts. Theme music was by A Pileated Woodpecker, made available by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Thanks for listening, and please join us next week for another dive into Mainly Phenology.